Welcome to the Women's Meeting for the LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Podcast. In today's meeting, we will discuss Principle 2, Shake Off the Chains with Which Ye Are Bound. Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles has said the following about the healing power of Christ's atonement.
He knows of our anguish, and He is there for us. Like the Good Samaritan in his parable, when He finds us wounded at the wayside, He binds up our wounds and cares for us. Brothers and sisters, the healing power of His atonement is for you, for us, for all.
In this series, you will hear actual participants discussing gospel principles of recovery and healing. Spouse and family support meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. All of the individuals in these podcasts are regular attendees in the Addiction Recovery Program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true opinions and experiences of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Spouse and Family Support Group. I am Sister Haas, and I will be conducting today's group. Do we have anyone here for the first time?
I am.
And your name is?
Leanne.
Hi, Leanne. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please turn off your cell phones. And we don't have any announcements this week. We need someone who would volunteer to offer an opening prayer.
I will.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can be at this meeting today, that we can be together as sisters, that we can share experience, that we can learn from this manual, learn from Thee and from the Savior. We're grateful for the atonement and how it is giving us healing and help. We ask to please bless any others who are struggling, that they will be able to find the peace that the atonement brings. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Family Support Meetings assist those with loved ones ensnared in pornography and addiction. We are a group of sisters who share our experiences, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the Spouse and Family Support Guide. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we apply these gospel principles in our own lives, we receive power through the atonement of Jesus Christ to find hope and healing and to receive the full blessings of the gospel. Let's just take a moment and refresh our memories of each other's names. We start over here.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I'm Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
I'm Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
I'm Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, I'm Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, I'm Carolee.
Hi, Carolee.
My name is Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Each week, we focus on a different principle. We will go around the room, and each person who is willing may read a section. You may pass if you prefer just to listen. We have extra copies of the principle for you to use in this meeting in case you do not have your own. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings that resonate with you. In addition, we will be pausing at the end of each section to discuss what we have read. Please remember to raise your hand to allow only one person to speak at a time. We will do the reading and discussion for 45 minutes. We want to allow time for the sharing portion of the meeting after this. Who would like to begin reading? Thank you, Becky.
Yep. Okay, Principle 2, shake off the chains with which ye are bound. Awake, put on the armor of righteousness, shake off the chains with which ye are bound, and come forth out of obscurity and arise from the dust. 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 23. We are not to blame for our loved one's addiction. It is common as we try to make sense of our difficult situation to wonder why and how our loved ones became addicted. We may feel we are somehow responsible. As parents, we may think about what we could have done differently and all the imperfect things we should not have done. As spouses, we wonder if we failed to meet the needs of our husband or wife and ask ourselves such questions as, am I not good enough, or what more could I have done? When things do not turn out well, we are tempted to blame ourselves. This type of thinking may lead us to improperly feel responsible for other people's choices, resulting in undeserved guilt and despair. A vital element in Heavenly Father's plan is the principle of agency, the ability and privilege to make our own choices. As we study and understand this principle, the Spirit will testify to us that we are not the cause of our loved one's addiction. Elder Richard G. Scott said, "If you are free of serious sin yourself, don't suffer needlessly the consequences of another's sins." As a wife, husband, parent, or loved one, you can feel compassion for one who is in the gall of bitterness from sin. Yet you should not take upon yourself a feeling of responsibility for those acts. Our loved ones are responsible for the choices they make. While the exact reason for their addiction may be complex, we are not responsible for their choices. A good reminder is, "Whosoever doeth iniquity doeth it unto himself, for behold, ye are free." And that's Helaman 14, verse 30. Our loved ones are likely to make bad choices when dealing with their addictions. Part of the process of recovery and healing for them is to make mistakes, but to take full responsibility for their decisions. Our success and happiness in life should not be measured by how other people choose to exercise their agency. We are responsible only for our own choices and actions.
Thank you, Becky. Have you felt responsible in some way for your loved one's poor choices? If so, how has this affected you? And then also think about what has helped you to recognize that you are not responsible for your loved one's choices. Lynn.
When I first found out about my husband's addiction, I remember thinking, how can I compete with that? And I struggled with that for years as he would do better for a while and then relapse. And it wasn't until many, many years later that we went to counseling. And I told the counselor, how can I compete? And he said, don't compete. It's not a competition. And that really hit me. And after that, I was able to let it go and not feel like I had to anymore. So
that's great. Thank you. Eileen.
One thing that helps me realize that I'm not responsible for his addiction is that it's been going on for a lot longer than he's known me. And even though now we're married and we are in a relationship together and we've been together for 4 years now, it's still not my fault that this started. It's still, I did not cause it. I don't cause it now. And sometimes it's hard to remember that it's, I don't do anything to cause it. But if I just remember that it's been going on for a lot longer than I've been around, then that really helps me.
Becky.
Well, I was just thinking, logic doesn't exactly answer the question, because when you're feeling like you've done something, sometimes logic doesn't work. And the thing that really stands out to me is what has helped me to recognize that I'm not responsible is God, because my answers, my logic did not help me solve that problem. I feel like the Lord has taken that away, and that I have to continually, if I ever feel triggered again, go to Him and ask for that help, because there's all the right answers, but sometimes they don't answer the feelings I have. But only God can take away that feeling of doubt or insecurity and help me in that way. So.
Great. Becky down here.
One of the things that I saw that really stuck out to me in what was read was where it says, part of the process of recovery and healing for them is to make mistakes, but to take full responsibility for their decisions. And I feel like for a long time I could have kind of put a Band-Aid on the hurts that were happening, and I didn't really let myself always feel what I needed to feel and express that either I would be, I started out as really explosive, and then later on, I just didn't express how I felt, and that really hurt me inside. And so I think it's really important to make sure that you allow those consequences to happen. Because if you take the consequences away from people, this is something that I've learned as a parent, then they don't always learn anything. And so I really like how it said that in the manual.
I know one of my husband's favorite sayings is, you can choose the behavior, but you can't choose the consequences. And he says that a lot to the men in his group. Carolee.
In reading this, it talks about, you know, the ability and privilege to make our own choices is a principle of agency that Heavenly Father has given us. And as I read that, that stuck out to me, along with, it says, don't suffer needlessly the consequences of another sin. I think I felt, before there was real honesty and real transparency, I kind of felt like my agency was being taken away from me. My husband wasn't giving me all the information that I needed to make correct choices, because he was hiding from me the true nature of his addiction. And that kind of, it wasn't until he put everything on the table that I felt like I really had the ability to finally act. And I don't know if that's how anyone else felt, but it was very damaging to not have that honesty and to be going about your life kind of with just part of the answers with, you know. But once having that that honesty, it answered a lot of those questions, a lot of that, the blame taking upon myself, my husband's addiction. Because before I had the honesty, I was trying to figure out what was wrong and often blamed myself for my lack, for things I was doing wrong. But I mean, we learn in group. Coming here, we learned that we aren't to blame. We learned those three C's, you know, I didn't cause it, I can't control it, and I can't cure it. And that's liberating. We're able to hand over that agency, you know, the blame that we've blamed on ourselves, we're able to just hand that to our spouse and just, you know, you take care of it. This is something that came into your life long before I was ever a part of it, like Eileen said. And I think it's important to recognize that the addiction, it also talks about how it's, you know, that the exact reasons are complex. And there's a lot of different causes and conditions that have nothing to do with the spouse. It has more to do with, you know, something very deep that needs the help of the Lord. Anyway, that's all I want to share.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to We Are Children of God. And Eileen, will you read? Thank you.
We are children of God. Our loved one's addiction may impact how we see ourselves and how we see life. We may begin to define ourselves by our experience with our loved one's addiction, as it can sometimes seem all-encompassing. It is important that we remember who we are and why we are here on earth. God is not only our ruler and creator, but he is also our Heavenly Father. All men and women are literally the sons and daughters of God. We can rely on the simple truth that he is our Father and we are his children. Understanding this relationship brings peace and confidence to move forward, not because of our own abilities, but because of his goodness and matchless power and the atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what is happening in our lives, we find that we can focus on the eternal stability of his love for us. This realization is where our process of healing begins. In the midst of our trials, as we turn our hearts to our Father in heaven, his love and the healing power of his Son's atonement can help us gain courage and hope.
Thank you. In what way does the knowledge that you are a child of God help you? And how will you strengthen your relationship with God through such things as prayer, scripture study, and obedience to his commandments? Melissa.
So when I first found out about my husband's addiction, I'd been through hard things in my life, but this was just different, and I didn't know how to deal with it. So I remember thinking, I can't get through this without you, Heavenly Father, so I'm going to do everything that you say. It talks here about prayer and scripture study as being commandments, and that's what I decided I needed to do. I needed to do everything that he said, prayer, scripture study, etc. When I used to pray, I always felt like it was so one-sided. I remember wishing that I could actually sit down with Heavenly Father and just hear his answers to me, because I felt like I was pouring my heart out, and sometimes I'd feel something, but I didn't feel like he was talking to me and I was getting as much comfort as I wanted. And so when I started to scripture study, not just read the scriptures, but regularly study them, I discovered that when I pray, I talk with him. And when I read my scriptures, when I study my scriptures, that's how he talks to me. I'd be reading their words, and I wouldn't even have to be reading about what I'd been concerned about in my prayers, and still I'd find answers. So that is how my relationship with my Heavenly Father has become stronger, through praying and getting answers and revelation through scripture study.
That's great. Thank you. Stephanie.
With the question of in what way does the knowledge that you are a child of God help you, I feel like I was very blessed with a very kind earthly father that instilled in me, one, the difference between self-worth and self-esteem, and that I knew the foundation of my worth was based on my Heavenly Father, that I was a daughter of my Heavenly Father. I never struggled with feeling of low self-esteem or a lot of those conflicts that I think a lot of other spouses will feel when their husband or wife is struggling with an addiction. And I feel like I've been able to separate the idea of your self-esteem, for me at least, seems it's a very worldly concept of your self-esteem. And when you hold on to that, I can see it being easily shaken by lots of things that go on around you. And with your self-worth, it's an eternal thing. It's something that is never changing. Your eternal worth to your Heavenly Father is consistent always. And so I felt like if I could hold on to what my worth was, my self-worth, knowing that my Heavenly Father loved me exactly the way I was, loved me eternally, I wasn't conflicted with comparing myself or having low self-esteem about my husband's addiction. For me, it was a great blessing that that was something that was instilled in me at a very young age, and I think it was just one of those tender mercies for me that I've just always kind of cherished, because I know that's not necessarily typical. So,
Becky.
I wanted to answer the question, in what way does the knowledge that you are a child of God help you? I used to feel really kind of guilty by association. And I felt, as time went on, I felt like I was just this trash, that eventually my husband would get tired of me, and he would get tired of our children and just throw us away. And I was just sure that was what was going to happen. And when I realized that I wasn't trash and that I was a daughter of God, it helped me say to him, I'm not going to let you treat me like this anymore. And it helped me set boundaries. And then when I realized because for a long time I saw him as this addict. And I looked at him, and I saw this addiction. And I didn't really see my husband anymore. I just saw all these negative things. But when I realized that my husband was a son of God, it helped me see him as a person again rather than an addict. And that brought a lot of healing for me.
Thank you. Carolee.
I just wanted to comment on strengthening our relationship with God. One thing that is really changed my husband and I is putting Heavenly Father first in our day, meaning first thing in the morning, and really being diligent about the things we always hear that we should be doing, and that's prayer and scripture study, but not taking those things, those ideas for granted, but really trying to do it. And things just go better when we pray, when we read our scriptures, when we have that personal time. It just seems like I'm more in tune. I can focus more on the things that I need to change about me. And it's just been a key to having the Holy Ghost and to really strengthening that relationship. Like others have said, God speaks to us through those scriptures and answers our prayers. And even when we aren't even asking the right questions, he answers and speaks to us through those scriptures. And so that's been really important.
Great. Thank you. Becky.
I wanted to comment on this last line that says, in the midst of our trials, as we turn our hearts to our Father in heaven, his love and the healing power of his Son's atonement can help us gain courage and hope. And that line just means a lot to me, really. In the midst of our trial, in the midst of my trial, a lot of my pain came from despair. I thought that so much had been lost. And I didn't know how we could ever get it back. And I was so afraid of that. And I remember in that moment of feeling so scared and praying to my Heavenly Father and just asking for his heavenly aid that I believe he will give us and that he does give us. And all throughout this journey, it's been so remarkable to me how he answered that prayer. The day was still hard that day, but I felt sustained. And then the next day was easier. And before I knew it, within 2 or 3 days, hope replaced my despair. And it was such a miracle to me. And it really taught me, like, that God loves me so much that he'll give me hope, that he'll answer my prayers when I'm in the midst of my trials. And, you know, I kind of, when I share my story with other people, I kind of talk about that as God removing my pain. And I've been thinking about it lately. And really, it was like this moment that God gave me hope. And this moment, he showed me a bigger picture. He started showing me more who I am, more who my husband is, and more about what this journey means. And there is so much hope in the gospel. And that's one thing I'm so grateful for through my journey in this program and with my husband, is that we can trust fully in the promises of the Lord and in the atonement of Jesus Christ. And really, that moment in my despair taught me that, and I'm just forever grateful for that moment where God let me feel something hard and let me lean on him and trust him, and slowly it's been removed to where I can really almost barely remember the pain that I felt. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to share that truly this sentence here is true, that in the midst of our trials, God will help us gain courage and he will help us gain hope.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Let's go ahead and move to We Are Free to Act for Ourselves. And Lynn, would you read? Thank you.
We are free to act for ourselves. We may feel powerless because we have little control over what our loved one chooses to do or the consequences of those choices. The gospel teaches us that we are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. We can use our agency to better our situation and make righteous choices regardless of our circumstances. Elder David A. Bednar counseled, "As you and I come to understand and employ the enabling power of the atonement in our personal lives, we will pray and seek for strength to change our circumstances rather than praying for our circumstances to be changed. We will become agents who act rather than objects that are acted upon."
Thank you. How will you use your agency to act and to improve your situation? And how does the second article of faith apply to your situation?
I think the agency to act has been incredible for me. In a real slow process, but very real, I've been able to set boundaries without even realizing I'm setting boundaries. As I begin to really feel the Lord's love for me and value for me as a daughter of God, the things that are appropriate and inappropriate. And I can still love my husband, but resolutely say, that's not okay. And so me becoming my agent and being able to act has been such a kindness for me and my family, I think. And it didn't come all at once, you know. In the beginning, it was just anger, you know. Don't. But now, as was shared before, I love my husband as a child of God, but I still love me as a daughter of God, and that contention and addiction and all of the things, the anger that comes with that, isn't healthy for anybody. So I appreciate that agency and recognizing I have that.
Stephanie.
It was difficult to just focus on my own agency and not worry so much about my husband's. But when I learned to just focus on my own agency and to think of the things that I could choose, you know, I realized, you know, us having, you know, we had our home, and I had, that being my home, I had the agency to choose what came in and into our home. And that, not to be controlling for my husband, but just to make sure that my home was a place that I felt safe and that I felt the Spirit. And, you know, for me, I made sure that our home had, we had a picture of Christ in every room, that I could always feel of his presence when I went anywhere in the room. And at the time, too, we were going to be expecting our first child, and I was very anxious about making sure that our child was able to feel safe and feel the Spirit in our home. And so, you know, making sure that the media that entered our home, any entertainment and things like that, that were something that I could feel good about, and that, you know, I had the control over that for my own home and for my children, so.
Carol Lee.
I was just thinking about an interview that I had with my bishop, one of my bishops, way back when my husband confessed, did a partial confession, I would call it, at the time. He confessed as much as he cared to. And I was very surprised when my bishop counseled me very, like he was very concerned that I wouldn't, in my anger or in my disappointment, go off and do something crazy. And I think at first my pride was a little bit pricked because I thought, Wait a minute. I would never. I have never. This isn't my problem. But since he was my bishop, I thought about his counsel. And I thought about how easy it would in that deep hurt, feeling like your husband hasn't been faithful to you, how I could easily allow myself to carry resentment. And none of us are exempt from making those bad decisions. And so I decided then and there that would never be me. I would never allow the choices that my husband made push me into doing something that that I knew was wrong, or I just wouldn't allow that hurt to take such a root in me. And then later, I met with the stake president, and he wanted me to make a list of me, of things that were me, who I was. And at the top of that list, I put, I'm a covenant keeper. And that became and has been my identity, that I keep my covenants despite covenants that have been broken over and over in the past by my husband, because my covenants are my own with Heavenly Father, and I keep them, and that is who I am. That's who. That's how I exercise my agency, and that has become just a very important thing to me in my day to day.
I love these questions. Initially, I was very concerned about my husband's agency and tried to control his agency. And, of course, that doesn't work. But I love these questions because they are so empowering for us, that we can use our own agency to improve our situation. What a blessing that that is. Okay, anyone else? Lynn.
I think it's also important to remember that we're the ones who have to make the decision of what's right for us. When I found out about my husband's addiction, I had a lot of people, because everybody found out what was going on, and a lot of people telling me what I should do. And I had to go and find out what was the right thing for me to do. And now in my life, I would never question, if you got the answer from the Spirit that you need to run away from your husband and never see him again, if that's what the Spirit tells you is what you're supposed to do, then you need to do that. But if the Spirit tells you, stay and work on things, then that's the right answer for you, regardless of what anybody else might tell you to do.
Okay. Oh, Carolee.
Just one more thing. In coming to group, you learn so many things from everyone around you. And one of the phrases that others have taught me that has helped me is the idea to water my own lawn, that the grass isn't greener, but you water your own lawn. And I like that, because there's so much I can do. I have power to act. If I want something, I can create it. And so if I just put that agency into those good things that I want in my life, I feel like they can happen, and I can nourish what I have. You know, the Spirit told me to stay, despite many people saying, you know, we would understand if you left. The Spirit told me to stay. And with that answer, you know, I'm like, well, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do with this marriage it's in pieces, it's shattered, it's all over the floor. How do I put that together again? And, you know, but there's a lot we can do when the Spirit says to stay, to find joy again. Joy that we may have thought we would never feel again can come back. if we exercise our agency to take care of what we have.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the sharing portion. For those of you who have joined us since the meeting began, we welcome you. We will now begin the sharing portion of the meeting. You are invited to share your personal experiences of applying gospel principles in your life. Please focus your sharing on the solution rather than the problem. Refrain from mentioning graphic details about the practice of your loved one's addiction. Also, it is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. Confidentiality and anonymity foster honesty and make this a safe place to share. In keeping with the principle of anonymity, we invite you to introduce yourself by your first name only. We will conclude the sharing portion 5 minutes before the end of the meeting. The time is now yours to share your experiences, faith, and hope. We invite you to share for 3 to 5 minutes. I will give a signal if you've used your time for sharing. In this meeting, we will proceed in a clockwise progression. And who would like to begin sharing? Eileen, thank you.
Hi, I'm Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
So this principle, talking about being a child of God and also having agency, is really just reminded me of the very first time when my husband told me about his addiction. And we were just dating at the time. We weren't even engaged or married or anything. And, you know, growing up, I'd always thought, oh, if I ever find out that a boyfriend or husband has this addiction, it's over. It's not even an option. And, you know, but once you're in that position, things are kind of a little different. And when he told me, and I mean, he was just broken. He was so sad. And I remember sitting there feeling the most profound love for him. And it wasn't my love. It was a Christ-like love. Like, I was seeing him through God's eyes, and I was seeing the possibilities, and that God loved him no matter what, just unconditional love. That's what I was feeling, and it wasn't me. It was just God was letting me see that's how he sees my husband. And that moment was just so powerful for me, and I always go back to that moment when I'm having a hard time, just remembering that God loves my husband no matter what. And he is a child of God, and it's just pure, unconditional love. And, of course, there are so many people, as we talked about, who have, you know, given their opinions of what you should do. And I remember being in my singles ward and having Bishop Rick Lesson on, you know, relationships. And the bishop was saying, if you ever find out that, you know, a boy you're dating has this addiction, leave him and let him figure it out on his own. And when he's done, then you can come back. And when he's figured it out, and I was already helping my boyfriend through this, you know, now husband, I was thinking, no, that's so wrong. That's not how it works. You can't just fix it and a few months later come back and be done. And also, one thing I've realized is that they need us. They can't do this on their own. They need the support of wives and girlfriends and fiancés and mothers, and they need support of everybody. And it's not just a, you know, do this on your own, fix it, and then we'll come back when you're done. And I don't know, I'm just really grateful for everything that I've learned through this experience, and just how much more my eyes have been opened, and I don't know, just willing to accept all different kinds of people going through different challenges in their lives. I'm so much, I don't know, I'm much less judgmental now than I used to be, just because I can't judge people for going through certain things when I have this thing going on in my life as well. I can't, you know, judge one, not the other. So, I don't know, it's just been really helpful in so many different aspects of my life and in my relationship.
Thanks, Eileen.
Hi, I'm Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
I had a bad week this week. We've had something going on in our family that we've been looking for a solution for about 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. And every time we think we found what's supposed to happen, it falls through. And there's been several times that I've just thought, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And so for the third time, we thought we had the answer. And I wasn't, I mean, I'm feeling like, yes, this is the right thing, but I'm waiting for a response from the other person who has to be involved, right? And the answer, the reply from them wasn't coming. And it's like, and Saturday, it's like every time I think about it, I just start to cry. And Sunday, I went to church and barely sat down in the pew and started to cry. And I finally thought, I can't sit here in sacrament meeting and bawl in front of all these people. And I just was crying, and the little girl in the pew in front of me was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? So as soon as the sacrament was over, I got up and left. And of course, my husband is worried. And so he came following after me. And I said, no, this time it's not your fault. He's learned. Now he comes and asks. That's a good sign. And I drove around for the next 2 hours just bawling. Heavenly Father, we need an answer to this. Why aren't we getting an answer? And I was so discouraged. And I think that my Heavenly Father was having a hard time getting me to calm down and listen. And when I finally did, the Spirit was just really telling me, my Heavenly Father knows what's going on. He knows that we need an answer. He knows the situation. But sometimes we have to wait. And I hate it. I don't like waiting. In fact, I actually thought, haven't I gone through enough because of my husband's addiction? I'm tired. I've put in my share of waiting. I don't want to anymore. But life doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have to wait for the answer. Don't give up. The answer is coming. Monday, I got an email back from the person I needed the reply from, and they said they needed something or other. And so it's like, okay, there is hope. Something's going to work out. And yet I also know that if this particular thing that we think is the answer, if it doesn't work, we'll still be okay. My Heavenly Father knows. He knows my problem. He has things planned so that it will work out if I'll just be patient and listen. So I'm going to keep trying to be patient and things will be better. And I know this is true in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
Lynn. Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
And excuse me. As we're reading this principle of shaking off the chains with which ye are bound, in my early recovery, I didn't realize that it was me that was bound, that I was frozen with fear and I was frozen with being a victim. And as I read these words, excuse me, it's a how-to direction. It's a how-to for me, because in my early days of finding out that my husband was an addict, I had no direction. I didn't know where to turn. And I love this, that it teaches to come forth out of obscurity and arise from the dust. And as I became more aware that I am a daughter of God, This principle allowed me to behave more so like a daughter of God. Because after 16 years of marriage and finding out that my husband was an addict, all those years I didn't know what the problem was, and I kept taking it upon myself, the problem. It must be me. It must be something I'm doing. And in that shame, I became less feeling and more angry with everyone around me. And so this is just a really powerful principle for me to be reminded and to be able to shake off the shame and shake off, you know, the person that I had become through fighting my husband's addiction and literally fighting the addict on a daily, sometimes hourly basis for all those years. I had lost that sight of being a daughter of God. And I appreciate these powerful words from the leaders of our church that acknowledge that this is a true problem and that it does send women into obscurity. And it gives me permission to awake. And then it tells me what to do when I do awake, to put on the armor of righteousness. And I really just appreciate what you share and the strength that I draw from these meetings. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Leanne. Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Just reading through this, what came to my mind is shortly after my husband, after I discovered my husband's addiction, he actually went to my dad and asked for a priesthood blessing, which was surprising for many levels that he would. And my dad was actually very surprised that he would ask. He had already known my dad. I'd already talked to my dad about my husband's addiction, so he was aware of it. And being his daughter, he obviously was not incredibly pleased with my husband. But he told him that he would give him a blessing. And so we came a week or so later, and you know, my dad had relayed to me about the struggle that he had just even before we came, just trying to feel the Spirit and not thinking he could actually go through with giving this man a blessing that is hurting his daughter. And so, you know, we sat down, my dad started to give the blessing, and my dad just kind of relayed to us afterwards and through the blessing as well, but that in all of his life, he had never been able to feel the deep love that our Heavenly Father had for somebody like he did when he gave my husband a blessing. It definitely softened my dad's heart, and it also definitely helped me. You know, it was something to be reminded that that my Heavenly Father still just loved my husband, that he was, you know, still a son of God, you know, and it reminded me, you know, that I needed to make sure to still have that compassion for my husband. If my Heavenly Father knows all, still has that love and compassion, you know, and we are all so imperfect, and that was just a great reminder to me just how deeply our Heavenly Father loves us, that he, with as imperfect as we are, he gave his son so that we can return, and that our Heavenly Father has hope and he has faith in us, and he has faith in our husbands, that they're able to to change and to overcome the addiction, and that our Heavenly Father loves the spouses and wants us to heal through the atonement. And it's something that I reflect on a lot, just to remember how important, you know, the Savior's atonement is. And just, it's hard for me to actually fathom how much I think our Heavenly Father loves us. You know, I try to compare it to the love that I have for my children, and I know how much that I love them, and to know that it's infinitely more is humbling. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I actually think I'm going to pass today.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
I've kind of struggled with what I was going to say today. So I want to talk about something that happened this week. My husband and I do a nightly check-in, and it's an idea that I got from a book by Real Croshaw that's called What Can I Do About Me? And we do, it's a vowel check-in, so it's A for abstinence, E for exercise, I for what did I do for myself, A-E-I-O for what did I do for others, U, what did I do, oh, what my unexpressed emotions, Y, my yay for the day, and G, we added G, is what am I grateful for. And we're doing our check-in, and my husband said that he had been having some thoughts and some images that he couldn't get rid of, which is one of the really hard things about the nature of sexual and pornography addictions. And we kind of have been, you know, trying to keep track, or he's been trying to keep track of how long it's been since he had a relapse. And so I said, oh, well, I guess that's a relapse. And he said, well, these other times when I've told you that I've had a bad day, that's what I was saying. And I didn't understand that. And so I was kind of mad at him. I felt like, well, you know, you haven't really been telling me what I thought you were telling me. I said, well, maybe my husband sees a psychologist. And I said, maybe you should talk to a psychologist about, you know, what should we consider a relapse in these things. And then he went to the psychologist on Tuesday, and he brought a handout home that was actually from that book, which was validating for me because I've tried to get him to read parts in this book before. And the fact that he was giving it to me, I said, this came from my book. So I felt really happy. and as he read through the, she has this chart, and it talks about how to know if your spouse is changing, because that's a really hard thing to know when you're not, you know, checking everything and being the police officer and things. So it can feel really up in the air, and you don't really know what's going on. And so it helped me to see that he was going through the list and really thinking about if he was on that path to recovery. And I'm just really grateful that I can see those changes in him and that we have a more open discussion about what's going on than we used to. And I think that really started with what it talks about in this principle, in understanding that I'm a child of God and that he's a child of God. And I'm just really grateful for this journey that we've been on. When I started coming to meetings, I never thought I would say that. I thought people were crazy when they said that. I felt like, you know, why would you ever be grateful for this trial? But I know that through this trial, I have become a better person, and I've become a more charitable person, and I like myself better on the other side. And that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carolee.
Hi, Carolee.
As we were reading this and thinking about agency and the choices that we make, I was thinking about, you know, my childhood and how, as a child, you don't have a lot of agency. You're born into a family, and you don't kind of do what you're told. My home life was hard. It was chaotic. I have a mother who's always active, very strong, and a father who's an addict to just about everything. And as a child, I placed a lot of my hopes and my dreams on my future, on the home that I would make. And that it wouldn't have these elements that I saw in my mom's marriage. My parents divorced when I was a teenager. And for us, it was really a good thing because things were so bad and so hard that finally we had peace. But what I really wanted, what was my deep desire, was to have a worthy priesthood holder as a husband. And because I didn't, my dad, he's always had a testimony of the gospel, but he just couldn't ever really live the gospel for a number of years. And he baptized me. I'm sure he blessed me and baptized me, but I never received father's blessings. And I had to look to other men to kind of teach me what should a man be like. And so a lot of my hopes and dreams were placed on this man that would be my husband. And it's really painful when you come to the realization that the man that you chose, nobody forced you. The man that you chose isn't worthy of the priesthood and isn't living his life in a way that you had hoped and dreamed of. Because I chose it. I didn't have all the facts. I didn't have it all before me, but I did choose it. And it comes into question, you know, well, why? Why? And I thought of that, but then I thought of the Savior, and I thought of him who was innocent, was perfect, yet so much came into his life, so much pain and sorrow. And I thought, well, why not me? You know, why not any of us? You know, we're sent here on earth to go through this experience. And these experiences bring us to our knees. They bring us to Christ. I thought of Christ being betrayed by a kiss. And I thought, well, why not me? You know, I'm no better. But it's a very painful realization. And there are two things that I held on to. One was the spiritual answer I received to prayer that I should marry my husband. I know I received that. I didn't know my husband was an addict at the time, but I know that I received that impression, and I cannot rewrite that, and I won't rewrite that. That was a true impression. And it sustained me. And the second impression that I received that has helped me, so my husband and I will be married 16 years this year. And those first 9 years, my husband was heavily in his addiction, and the last 5-6 years have been awesome as he's been on the road of recovery. But at that point of 9 years into marriage, the impression I had when I was praying to know if I should leave my husband, because that's what people do in my kind of situation. That's what they do. And the impression was to stay. And I thought, okay, but I don't know how to do this. And then it was a little bit later in the office of my bishop the very next day when I was filled with this overwhelming feeling of love for my husband that came from a source outside of myself. It was as if I could see my husband for who he could be, who he was without this addiction inflicting him and putting him down. And it was a strong spiritual feeling of love for my husband that was a gift. That's all I can describe it as a gift. And I've held on to that. And I know that those two things were from God to help me along. And to see my husband as the man that he could be, the man that my patriarchal blessing speaks of, the man that I had dreamed of as a child. And I had a sister who taught me a good lesson. She said, well, if you're going to stay, then why not treat him as if he already is that person? And I can't say that I've been really good at that over the last 5-6 years, but I've been trying to see him as the Son of God that he is, and as if he's already arrived in that place that he wants to be, because he hated himself, and he wanted to change. And that's really, I think, why I stayed with my husband, is because I knew that he wanted to change. And I didn't want to just be left with the bitterness of our marriage if I left him and just be left with all the bad history. I was like, well, if you want to change, I want to stick around and see if this will happen. And I can bear witness that change is real. It can happen. People can change. I've seen amazing changes in my marriage and in just our relationship, the closeness that we have. And I have to give a lot of that to the hard work of coming to meetings, of attending group. But also it's the reason why I can give credit, a lot of it, to these meetings is because it's teaching us how to access the power of the atonement. And that's what it is. It's the power of Jesus Christ in our life to save our marriage and to give back things that were lost, things that we never thought we could have again, such as happiness. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Carly.
Hi, my name is Vicky.
Hi, Vicky.
I just want to thank everybody for their testimonies and their stories. So I started coming to these meetings about 8 months ago. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God led me to this program and to these meetings and to share. I don't even know whether I'm sharing anything, but I know that the sisters that surrounded me in my meetings and the missionaries that have been placed in my life have helped heal me. I can see the little daily miracles and in my life as I walk through this journey. I remember kind of hitting a wall with my husband, and I had been coming to meetings enough to know that, not to know, but to feel the Spirit enough to say that I'm of value and I'm of worth and I don't want these things. And it's not just the addiction. It is all of the stuff that comes around the addiction. It's the blame and the hurt and the anger. And missionaries had mentioned a group to go to, and I had, right or wrong, I told my husband, if you really want to do this, we really have to do this, because I really can't do this marriage without the Spirit with us. And I know that the Spirit and the Atonement and the missionaries, that this program is inspired of God. And he came. And we are walking forward, sometimes fast and sometimes not so fast. But I can look back over the last 8 months and see how individually we are healing. And how, because we are now not placing the blame on one another for our struggles and our challenges, but just trying to be the best we can, we're healing. And I am so grateful to be able to know that the Lord personally takes care of me and my family, my husband and my children, and is very aware of our situation. I am so grateful for the little teeny moments, random moments for me, where all of a sudden I just feel the Spirit. And I'm grateful for that. I know that he's here. And I have such a strong testimony of the Savior and his sweet love for me and this amazing program that ups and downs as I stick with it and my dailies. I have to do them in the morning. I read my scriptures and I say my prayers and I take my time to pray to the Lord without a rush. He's there for me and I can hear his counsel, and I'm very grateful for that. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks,
Thanks,
Becky.
Hi, I'm Becky.
Hi, Becky.
It's kind of hard going last, sharing last, because there's been so many thoughts go through my mind. I wanted to say thank you as well. As to hear each other share, either during our discussion or through the sharing, there's been so many moments of a richness of the Spirit where it just reminds me of the goodness of God. I was kind of thinking as I was feeling that way how so many times in the beginning of this journey, I didn't have words for the goodness of God. I could just say to people all the time, God is so good. God is so good. You know, I don't really have the words for the sweetness that I feel. And I kind of, it makes me think of that phrase that you have to feel the or taste the bitter to taste the sweet. And for me, that's kind of what the journey has been, is that I really didn't know such pain, and thankfully for me it was very short-lived. The hope quickly filled my life, and the sweetness that has been in my life has been so rich, and it just, the goodness of our God is beautiful. I'm so grateful for him and for the atonement of our Savior. And thinking about today's discussion as well, being a daughter of God or a son of God, I can't say in my life, I've always believed that I have a father in heaven, but didn't necessarily have a feeling connected with I am a child of God. And that was something that I still pray for and that I have been praying for. And it's been really interesting the ways that he's showing me. There, it's kind of like sometimes we get to see a big picture and a bigger understanding of gospel principles, and sometimes he gives us a piece by piece. And for me, being a daughter of God, it's been piece by piece, but he's also helping me to see my husband piece by piece as a son of God, and what richness that has brought into my life as well, understanding that principle better. So that is definitely worth our effort. Another thought that's going through my mind is the importance of seeking gifts. I believe our Father in heaven is waiting for us, that he has gifts he's prepared for us, but we haven't asked for them yet. And in this particular trial, that's what I've learned. And I've even realized in thinking of my entire family, there are gifts that I can seek as a mother that I've just kind of thought, he'll give them to me if I need them, you know. But really, our Father in Heaven expects us or wants us to seek for those gifts. And for me, that has been a great gift and blessing to be able to feel that I am a daughter of God and that my husband has that same potential and that same birthright. Last thought. I told you I had lots of jumbled thoughts. My last thought is I, for a long time, really struggled with some anger toward men. I did. And then learning of my husband's addiction, in time, anger showed up. And I was really mad, not just at my husband. I was really mad at men. And kind of, well, I better be honest, right? I was angry at God that because I thought I was asking why, you know, why are men this? Why are men that? And he really has helped me understand because I was angry at the injustice that I saw. And one of the most beautiful things that I think I have learned is that idea of injustice. I was so angry at injustice. Like, do I really believe or not that the Savior met the demands of justice? If he can heal me, who was offended, and he can heal my husband, who was the person that offended me, where is the injustice? And that is true in all of life's situations. The Savior heals both parties. He met the full demands of justice. And I just think it's one of the most beautiful things about the atonement and one of the most beautiful things that I've learned because that anger came from feeling injustice. And there's so many injustices in life and they're not always easy to get over. But I think, I believe, and this is what I'm going to try to do when I face other injustices, is to kneel down and to seek the atoning power in that moment because he met the demands of justice. And I just want to share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you, Becky.
Thank you very much. I have lots of thoughts, too. I wanted to, first of all, comment on agency. This January, my daughter, who had waited 10 years to get pregnant, at 27 weeks, delivered our first grandson. And he lived for 36 hours, and there came a point when both my daughter and her husband said, no more. We need to let him go. And there is nothing that I have experienced in my life, including my husband's addiction, I very much, and her dad very much, wanted to reach in and take this from her. And we would do it. And as we talked about that, and she's holding her son, and he's taking his final breaths, we commented to each other that even if we could step in and take it, it would be wrong. Because we can't take their agency away. That's what the battle in heaven was about. Was agency. Secondly, I want to share an experience. I wish it was mine, but a dear friend of mine who shared this experience in group, she had just had their second child, and she found out about her husband's addiction, and it went beyond just viewing pornography. And her mother-in-law happened to stop by the house and said to her, I'll call her Terry, and said to her, Terry, you're freaking out. What's going on? Do I need to take you to the hospital, or, you know, what's going on? And she said, you know, do you know what your son has done to me? And just spilled it all out to her mother-in-law. Now, this wise mother-in-law, who could have very easily gotten angry, this is what she told Terry. She said to her, I want you to pray to see yourself as a daughter of God. And you pray and you pray and you pray until you see yourself as a daughter of God. And she did. And it took her a while. But she said eventually, she had said the prayer, and in her mind's eye, she saw herself all in white. And she said, I was beautiful, and I was smart, and I was all of the things that I had forgotten that I was. And then she challenged the group not only to do that, but to pray to see their husbands as a son of God, and to continue to do so until she did. I just wanted to share that story. I think it's beautiful. Thirdly, I think one of the best things that we can offer our husbands is a healthy wife. And coming to these meetings is what will help us heal. And I think that is one of the very best and most important things we can do for our husbands. And then lastly, the missionary coordinator, I remember one time he was in a meeting and he said to us women, he said, I just envision when you guys cross over to the other side, how Heavenly Father will put his arms around you and say, thank you for helping to save my son. I love to keep that in my mind as I go through all of this. I want to bear testimony that I know that our Savior knows us by name, and that his grace, as Becky was saying, is sufficient. He has, you know, people always say the Savior will make up the difference. There's a talk where it's said that he is the difference, and I love that. And I bear testimony of that and say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please remember that what has been shared here is confidential, and the opinions expressed here are those of the individual who expressed them and do not necessarily represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Please review the gospel study and personal learning and application sections of the principles between meetings to build on what you've heard and experienced in this meeting. Finally, we thank each of you for your participation. And would someone please volunteer to offer the closing prayer? Becky, thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity we've had to meet together and to discuss these gospel principles. We're so thankful for the gospel in our lives. We're thankful for the atonement and the way that it has blessed us. We pray that thou would continue to bless us with understanding of the atonement, that it may strengthen and enrich our lives. We pray that thou would watch over us and our families. We pray for strength and courage and hope. We pray that thou would bless those who are in the midst of their trials, that they may find the hope and the strength that they need, and that they can discover the meetings and learn where they can go. And we pray that Thou would bless the missionaries who volunteer their time. We pray for their families. We're so grateful for Thy Son and for His sacrifice. We say these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to an actual LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Meeting. For more information or to attend meetings near you, visit arp.lds.org or contact your local priesthood leader. To download a podcast of any episode of the Addiction Recovery Program, visit mormonchannel.org or arp.lds.org.